What a wonderful album that is. Where did the idea come from to do a solo album? And I mean, I think everyone's asked that question, but yeah. You know.
You know, I'm not really sure. I just felt we basically finished up a really good feeder tour at the end of Generation Freak Show album. We finished up at Brixham Academy in London, and it went really well. And I just felt I just needed the break, so I thought it was a good time to stop on a high after a really good tour and a really good show. And I just wanted to take some time out just to sort of think about the next feeder record and just to have a break, really. I mean, I've been doing feeder for 22 years now, so I felt as though if I was going to try some new things, it was a good time to do it. So I basically kind of went away, wrote some songs. I wasn't quite sure, you know, I didn't really have a burning desire to be a solo artist or anything like that. It was just something that happened in a very natural way. Before long, I realized that I had sort of 10 songs and then I had 15 songs. And I just really liked the feel of the, you know, I had a really quite a clear sort of vision about, you know, like the sound of everything on this record. And it just happened in a very natural way. You know, it was self-funded. I did it all on my own. Didn't use any of the feeder crew, didn't use my manager or anything. I just did it all with completely new people. So it was just a fun little project. And now it's ended up being my first solo record, which is kind of bizarre.
What is the pressure like? Because I guess everyone's now asking you, like, yeah, you know, what is it like with feeder, and is it going to be the same and blah, blah. And I think it must be really hard for a musician to think, like, hello, this is my own thing now.
Yeah, I mean, well, feeder's only two-piece anyway. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, as a live band, we're either three or four, but there's only two official members. And so, I mean, I think I probably feel actually less pressure for this than I do for a feeder record, only because of our history, you know, and past sales. This is a completely sort of, you know, blank canvas. I didn't do it. I just did it because it felt like a very natural thing to do. I just had fun doing it. You know, I worked really hard on the record as well, but there was no real, you know, big game plan. I mean, that started to happen since I finished it and then sort of realized that I had this body of work that, you know, that I was really proud of. I think I've actually felt more pressure kind of worrying about what the feeder fans are going to make of it all, because, you know, as soon as they hear the word like solo album, but, you know, people think the band had broken up, and that, you know, and that really isn't the case. I just needed some time out. I think we've always worked like incredibly hard as a band feeder. We haven't ever taken any time out. I just think it'll be good for, you know, for the band chemistry, and just good to come back, you know, feeling fresh.
Let's talk about the record. And one thing that kind of struck me was it sounded very 70s-ish, like Soulmate, the first single. Yeah. Are we back in the 70s now?
Well, what, yeah.
What happened?
I'm not quite sure. It's just the way that the album, I think I wanted to go back, you know, to show people my more acoustic side. You know, I love a lot of those records. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, from a very young age, you know, Simon & Garfunkel, you know, Nick Drake, Fleetwood Mac, Neil Young. You know, lots of really quite mellow stuff, as well as, you know, as the more classic rock stuff that everyone thinks that I listen to all the time. And I just love the sound of those records. They just sound to me just honest and simple, but, you know, organic. And I kind of wanted to make an album that touched on that in some way, not just musically, but even the way I sequenced it and just the sort of flavor of the record. There's something about those albums from the 70s that feel like they told a bit more of a story, and I kind of really wanted to try and get that on this record and write about songs that I probably wouldn't do possibly on a feeder record.
Storytelling is definitely one thing that struck me on the album as well. Yeah. When I've listened to songs like Soulmates and Tall Trees, I thought, this guy's got a family, he's been married for years, and he's still so romantic. Where does that come from?
Well, actually, I've only been married for about 2 years, although I've been with my partner for quite a long time. I left it quite late, but you know, I don't know. I didn't really overanalyze stuff I was writing this time. I just, you know, wrote what came from, you know, from the heart, really. And I think I have touched on songs about family. You know, I don't know if you've heard the full 15-track album,
did,
or whether you've got the 13, because,
yeah,
you know, for me, that is the whole journey.
Absolutely.
And there's song, you know, there's two of my favorite songs on there. One is called Father to Son, which is about my 6-year-old son, which is, you know, were quite a brave thing to do, but hopefully I did it in a tasteful way and wasn't sort of overly sentimental.
I thought it was very honest, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really simple song, but it's, you know, it's quite, you know, it does, you know, you do sort of worry if you're being too personal sometimes on records. But I think on my first solo record, this felt like the time to sort of show a bit more of my soul. And you know, that, you know, there is moments sort of like that on, you know, on the album that do touch on that. And even Soulmates, you know, it's a, I mean, it's a very simple song, but for me, it's a very key song for the album.
I think your son will be really proud of you once he really
understands. He's not that interested now. He kind of knows it's about him. So he's kind of like, oh, daddy. But I mean, the reason why I like that song is because it's not really like a ballad. I tried to do something that, you know, that wasn't a typical kind of, you know, overly kind of, you know, nursery rhyme sort of songs often happen. You know, you hear songs like Beautiful Boy, you know, John Lennon and stuff like that. I wanted this to be a little bit different to that. And, you know, by the time, you know, the song finishes, it's almost like quite an anthemic sort of chorus on it. And I think it's a little bit different to what people might expect me to write, you know, when I mention that it's about my son.
Also, like songs like Robots, very honest. And I mean, I know loads of people have touched on the subject, but the way you kind of talk about it, kind of seeing the beauty of our life as well, and not just the fact that it's all robotic and that we're all hectic. And I thought that was a really interesting take on it, because like everyone's taken the gloomy bit. And
yeah, I mean, I think the Robots is one of the more up-tempo songs on the album. It's probably one that will appeal to a lot of the feeder listeners, but it's I mean I'm not saying it sounds like a feeder track, but it definitely touches, you know, it's a bit more upbeat. It's got, you know, like a slight electronic kind of element in places, but again, it's a song that really reflects on kind of city life and what was happening at that time. You know, there was lots of things going on, you know, all around the world, really. And I just wanted a song that sort of touched on that and sort of people's day-to-day sort of routine. And, you know, I mean, the great thing about this record is I just felt so free to do that. I'm kind of very pleased with that track, because it's got almost like a dancey feel to it, you know, in some way. You can imagine a really good sort of club remix of it or something like that. But I was sort of trying to get something, you know, when you hear bands like, you know, like Radiohead and stuff like that, they do those kind of songs, I think, kind of really well, because they still sound organic, but you can hear some of the electronic sort of elements in there. And I tried, that's what was kind of in my head, you know, when I was writing that song.
My favourite song on the album is definitely Joan of Arc.
Good choice.
I love that. Where did the idea come from?
It's really dark, that song. I think I was trying to write a film in my head. So it was kind of, I had, you know, very much this kind of almost like a sort of European sort of film in, you know, my mind. It's basically, I suppose, like a broken love song about this guy that's kind of messed up a little bit. He kind of made a mistake, played around a bit, and you know, he's realised that he might have lost this, you know, this amazing person in his life, and she's this very strong-willed person, which is where, you know, the whole lyric came from. Like, you know the whole Joan of Arc line. And it was a really natural song to write. It came up really, really quickly, and it was just one of those songs that I knew exactly what I wanted to do with it. I wasn't quite sure how to put it down onto tape, but or onto Pro Tools, whatever we were using at the time. It's dark, but also uplifting. But I think there's also a sort of thread of hope in that song. I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm not trying to be like depressing about it. It's just sort of, I think he's realised he's making his mistake, and he's trying to win back this person, but she's got a very strong will, and he's not quite sure if he's going to get her back. So that's kind of where, you know, where I was coming from. But I just love the sound of that track. It's got almost like a European feel to it, and I think it'd be great in a film. And it's one that certainly is getting a very good response after some of the live shows that I've been doing.
You know what I actually like about it is the image that you portray, or the image of the woman, because I think a lot of songs these days, or actually, over decades, have been about this really fragile, wonderful, beautiful woman. And there you are writing a love song about a really strong woman.
No, well, that was the whole point. I wanted to turn it on its head a little bit, and I thought, you know, that was the whole point of that song. It's, you know, it's more about her strength than his weakness. So it's kind of seeing the woman's side of it, really. But, you know, I really try to go back to a sound, you know, listen, you know, I was listening to a lot of Johnny Cash and stuff like that. And you can probably hear like the big, bold vocal sound, you know, that I went for. I haven't really done that much on feeder stuff. I mean, you know, my voice is really up front, quite dry. And, you know, you can really hear, you know, my voice in kind of, you know, in a quite a low range, which I don't often do with feeder. And it's quite nice to hear that, because I think I actually quite like that sort of side of my voice as well. You know, some people seem a bit shocked, you know, when they hear it, but it's always been there. And I think as you get older, it's sort of nice to use your voice in different ways.
I didn't recognize it at the beginning, really. I honestly
I've always sung like that. It's just like I just, you know, it's just hard to do that on feeder tracks, because it's, you know, there's always a big wall of sound, so you just get, you know, just get lost in it. But, you know, possibly on the next feeder record I may do, you know, maybe sort of mess around, you know, my voice a bit more and possibly push the, you know, push the voice more forward. I've always tend to push the voice more back on feeder tracks in general, and let, you know, and let the power of the band do the work. But I think, you know, it'd be nice to maybe try and sit the voice in a different place on the next record. Now I can bear to hear myself after all these years.
If I think about some of the feeder tracks, like Love Pollution or that, you had a very, very soft voice too, but this is so different.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of see, I mean, I just think on certain songs, I just don't, I want to try and get the emotion, but without having to shout on every song. And I think that, yeah, you know, I've done that. And, you know, and sort of back in the day, it is great to have a bit of a belt on certain tracks, but I didn't feel as though on some of these songs it should all be sung in that way. I felt that I wanted to show the emotion by using my voice in a different way. And I actually think the album sounds more, has actually got more emotion for it. Anyone can scream and shout in a mic, but it doesn't always sound believable. I wanted this album to be a completely different, you know, beast, you know, to what I've done in the past. And I mean, I have touched on this, obviously, with feeder songs. You know, there's tracks from my early work that have sort of, you know, like a lower vocal in the verse and then go high in the chorus. Tracks like Descend, for example, from Polythene. So I was kind of trying to do it back then. I just didn't quite have the confidence or the experience, I think, because, you know, singing for me was quite a new thing in the early days of feeder. I was, you know, I was just a guitar player that ended up singing. So it's something which I've sort of tried sort of new things on. You know, on each album, some of the vocals tend to be softer and some are harder.
When are we going to expect any live shows outside of the UK?
Well, I would love to come to Germany, which is a big reason why I want to talk to you today. But it's, you know, actually, there's been some really positive feedback in Europe so far, especially in Germany. So we are, you know, I am dying to come out there and do some more shows. And it is looking quite positive. We're just trying to find a way of doing it. You know, obviously on a quite a tight budget, this is, you know, this is quite a small project at the moment, but, you know, it can only grow. So spread the word. I mean, like, the great thing about this project is, you know, I can do it in a more stripped back way. So, you know, we can do it in a van, and, you know, the feeder show, even though we're doing still obviously not huge venues there, it's still a much bigger operation and, you know, bigger crew and stuff like that. This I can do with a much more stripped back setup and, you know, smaller crew. So it's a little bit more cost effective, which may help me, to, you know, do more shows in Europe. I mean, I've got a great band. It's basically a four piece, two Danish guys who are absolutely crazy. It's quite a quirky setup because it's almost like it's two keyboards, and then the one keyboard player also plays a bit of bass and there's backing vocals. And then I've got a main keyboard player that plays sort of keyboards and all this quirky stuff, and then drums and you know, just me on obviously vocal and guitar. But it works really well. It's quite nice having a new band. It just feels, you know, fresh and different and
inspiring, I guess, too.
Yeah, no, it is good. And I found, you know, I've got some great people. I mean, they're great players, so it's helping me a lot.
Can you imagine? I mean,
I know, you know, they're making me sound great.
Well, I've just heard you've been back from Fuji Rock, so yeah. It must have been absolutely amazing experience.
It went really well. I mean, it's always a nerve-wracking show because, well, firstly, you know, going there, you know, as a solo artist for the first time to do quite a big festival, like one of the biggest, you know, there in Japan. It was our first time on a big stage, which was also quite nerve-wracking. And it's a long way to go to have a bad show. So, you know, I mean, you know, there's always that fear in the back of your mind, but it went really, really well. We had a great response, some really good reviews. And I'm going back to do a small tour in October.
Well, hopefully you come back to Europe at some point.
Well, we're going to do UK, then go to Japan and then come back to do some more stuff in the UK. So our plan is to try and do some European stuff, either come there and do some touring sort of November, early December, and do like a little European tour.
That'd be great.
Maybe tie that in with a few, so it's got a bit more time to sort of set it up, or possibly try and, you know, squeeze a few in around October time.
Well, I guess you're going to hate me for this question, but
that's right.
Any feeder plans already?
Yeah, I mean, I've already written some new feeder stuff, and there was four songs from this lot that I wrote that just felt too feeder-ish. I mean, sort of slightly different to the last feeder record in sound, which is good. I think it's always good to try new things. But I thought, you know, I'm going to keep these here for feeder rather than sort of, you know, use them on this, because it didn't feel right for this project at all. So I've got a few in the can. I've written a few. I've got a few up my sleeve as well. So I think we could turn an album around, you know, quite quickly if we prepare for it properly. So I'm looking forward to touring this album up until the end of the year, possibly do a little bit of feeder stuff in November, not any live shows, I don't think, but maybe do some demoing or, do some recording if I get time. And then focus on doing some feeder stuff next year, and also possibly doing some more on this, because this might run into next year a bit, certainly, festival wise, because this album came out too late for me to do many festivals here. So hopefully there may be a few I can do next year. Sort of fit that around feeder.
There's definitely loads to be looking forward to next year then
from
you.
There is, yeah.
Thank you so much, Grant. It was an absolute pleasure,
okay,
talking to you again. And, next time I'm going to see you again face-to-face as per usual.
You certainly will. And I'll let you know if there's any, if there's any German stuff, obviously any stuff in Europe at all, it would be great to come out and see you.
Have you got Twitter or anything?
And also on Facebook. Have you seen my Facebook site?
No, not yet. That's why
I'm asking. Everything. It's the tweet stuff. You've got everything, but it's... And my Facebook one is a really good one because it's got all the videos on there. And also, if you go on to Vevo, which is the big video station, they're playing every song because I've made a video for every song on the album.
Is Facebook Grant Nicholas?
It's just a Grant Nicholas. But I've got my own personal one. Mm-hmm. It's in the same name, but my music one you'll see is because I have like a GN logo made out of tape. It's kind of like my little thing I'm doing for this campaign. I sort of write with tape. Mm-hmm. And that's got, that keeps you updated all the time. I'm on there all the time. It's only me doing it. So, this is a very boutique kind of, it's on my little label. So everything on there, is very much sort of, me. It's not like people in an office doing it for me. And I kind of wanted this to be very hands-on and it to be that kind of record, because I think it is that kind of album. I think it's important to really connect with people, who are interested in listening to it. Thanks very much.
No worries. Take good care of yourself, Grant.
Yeah, and you.
Cheers.